Welcome to Late Lunch at the start of a new week, Monday afternoon. We're with you until 3:30 today. A busy show as usual and a lot of ground to cover. But we're really sad on the show today because you may have heard on our news over the weekend and again today that Michael O'Keefe has passed away following a farming accident. He was president of the Oriel region of the St Vincent de Paul, covering counties Louth, Meath, Cavan and Monaghan, and a member of the Society's National Management Council. And I have to say he sat in this studio with me on a number of occasions since Late Lunch began, and I'm really saddened today myself, to be honest. Joining me on the line is Liam Riley. He is the regional president of St Vincent de Paul at the moment. Afternoon, Liam.
Good afternoon, Jerry. How are you?
Liam, you must be in a state of shock.
Absolutely. Couldn't believe the news when it came through on Saturday morning that Michael had passed away. Very untimely. He had given a lot of years to the society and was certainly a visionary. Had a lot of energy left to continue on within the region, and we're very deeply shocked by the sudden news.
There are many words to describe him, but some of them I've heard, like dedicated, generous with everything he did, committed and determined. They all sum him up.
Absolutely, and that's only part of it. I mean, Michael, as I said, was definitely a visionary. He would have had a clear outline of where the society was going. He was very concerned, I suppose, for the future of the society in this materialistic world.
Who turned your head to the priesthood?
The Augustinians. Yeah, I was raised spiritually, I suppose, in the Augustinians in Shop Street. I was an altar server there. And I really admired the guys that I met there.
Like who?
Well, there was a guy called Father Hussey. I don't know if anybody would remember him. Years and years and years ago. But I always remember when I had a dog that died. And he wanted to get me a new dog. Now, actually, the last thing I wanted was a new dog. And I felt like telling him to go do something with that. But I thought that kindness, like, you know, in him was very attractive. And then Jim Kiley was a big influence on me. I kind of grew up with him. And I saw him around the town and how he interacted with people and how natural he was and human he was. And I found that a very attractive quality. And so that was my initial... And I had almost signed up for the Augustinians. I had gone to their place. I had gone on vocations workshops with them. And I told them I wanted to become an Augustinian. And but they invited me on what's called an open vocations workshop at the time when young, you know... And it was for, you know, it was like a supermarket for religious orders. And they wanted me to go there to attract guys to the Augustinians, to tell them I was going to be an Augustinian. But I heard a Columban talk. And he said something there. He said, if I'm going to be a priest and I'm not going to have a family and I'm not going to get married and I'm not going to have that exclusive relationship with somebody, then I'm going to go the whole way and become a missionary. And as an 18-year-old, I just felt that was so attractive. And I said, well, I'm going to go the whole way too. So, and not that the Augustinians don't go the whole way, like, you know, but this missionary thing, the exclusively missionary, which is what the Columbans are, I found really attractive at that time, yeah.
And off you went, and the rest is history, as they say. You became a Columban father. Where did you study?
Maynooth.
Yeah. So, as most people went at that time.
Yeah. And I was a classmate of Dennis Nulty, who was just ordained, yeah, we were classmates. Yeah.
Are you the next for the hat?
I don't think the Holy Spirit is that nuts.
You never know. Don't rule it out. Rule nothing out, nothing in.
Yeah,
Dennis has done really well, hasn't he?
Yeah,
and I know he's down in Carlow and Loughlin now as the bishop down there.
Great guy.
And I'm sure he's missing. It must be hard when you do uproot after a time and have to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, it's heart-wrenching. It's honestly, it really is, like, you know. I mean, the number of times I've cried leaving places is really, yeah, it's very hard, yeah.
So you went to Maynooth, you, Dennis, and a lot of others were there. Were vocations vibrant at the time?
It was, yeah. I was there in the late 70s and early 80s. And I think that was the beginning of the decline, though, I think. Like the Columbans, we haven't had a vocation in Ireland for a long time. But we had a number at that time, like, you know, for a couple of years afterwards. But then the decline happened. So there was a lot of guys in Maynooth. It was a kind of a vibrant place to be. And I loved it. I thought Maynooth was a great place. I went to the NUI part of it for BA. And then I did my theology in the Pontifical University side of it.
How many years did it take you altogether?
It took me a long time because the Columbans sent you abroad as a seminarian. For 2 years, it was called overseas training, and I went to Taiwan for 2 years when I was a student, as a seminarian, and went back there after ordination.
So, when you were ordained, you did spend a short time in Ballymun. And I did say in the introduction that you're going back to Ballymun now.
I am, yeah. Who would have thought that? Yeah, it's the Columbans have a parish there. It's the only parish we run in Ireland. We founded the parish. I think it must be 40, I should know the history, but I think it must be 40 years ago.
Afternoon, Audrey.
Afternoon, Gerry. How are you?
You're in a little bit of bother.
Yes, I'm trying to help my mum. She went shopping on Saturday in Drogheda and bought a dress for a wedding that she has this coming Saturday in Fancel's boutique. After that, she went to the town centre shopping centre and Scott Hall, but when she arrived home, she didn't have the dress.
Oh, no.
So somewhere en route, she lost the dress, and I'm really trying to find it so that she can wear it to the wedding.
Obviously a special dress with a big day coming up. The wedding's this Saturday, is it?
It is indeed.
And obviously when you go to Francelle's, you put a lot of time and effort in, and it's something that she really wanted for the big day.
Well, that's it. You spend your time picking out a dress, you know, and when you go to that trouble and then you don't have the dress, yes.
And was it in a Francelle's bag?
It was in the bag that she got in Francelle's, yes. I'm not exactly sure now if their name is on the bag, but it's definitely it was still in the bag that she got the dress in.
Okay, so Francelle's is where in Drogheda? Narrow West Street, is it?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it is on the far end, I think, of town there. And then we'll just trace her route. She went from there to Drogheda Town Centre, was it?
Yes, and then on to Scotch Hall.
God, she had a wide old sweep on Saturday.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, shopping day. So from the far side of West Street into Drogheda Town Centre and then on to Scotch Hall. And obviously she stopped here and there along the way.
She did, and she had lunch and that as well, yes. And she had other bags, but when she got home she had the other bags, but just not the one with the dress.
Isn't it just typical? I'm not saying you want to lose anything, to be honest with you, Audrey, but when you're talking about a dress especially,
exactly,
you know.
It would have been the biggest item that she had purchased, you know.
Well, okay.
So it was really just if any listener happened to come across it, you know, if they'd just get in touch with you maybe so that we could get it back to her.
Yeah, because has she a plan B? No, probably not at the minute. Well, she may have to have, but we're hoping it's Monday.
She's through the wardrobe, I think, to see what she can find.
Okay, so it happened Saturday. We're in Monday. The wedding is next Saturday. So look, is there anybody out there picked up a dress? It'd be, can you just, do you know the colour or anything, Noah?
We didn't get to see it because obviously she didn't get to bring it home, but there's, I believe, blue, black and white possibly in it. It's, you know, it's not just one colour.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to throw it out there now and see what we can do for you. The dress left in a bag, Francelle's bag. If anybody's seen it, we'd love to hear from you. 1850 715 958. And we really do want to help Audrey's mum look her best for the big day this Saturday. Thanks, Audrey.
Thanks a million, Gerry. Thank
Take
you.
Take care of yourself. Bye now. Bye. Bye. If you can help there, please do give us a shout. Shane Filan there. I like that song, Everything to Me. God, he's going to have to send a few million of them, isn't he?
He will. He's in deep water. Well, he's across. I suppose he's claimed bankruptcy.
He has done that. I think he's just coming out of it, actually. He may have the year up on that as well. But what do you do in life? You pick yourself up and march on. Nothing else he can do. And
I was reading to show after
all. Yeah, I was reading a feature on in one of the papers the weekend about him there and what has happened to him and that as well. And he's got caught up in the maelstrom. But you know what? He's trying to get up there and get marching on again, and I give him great credit for that. So that's Shane Filan there, Everything to Me.
You were stuck here in the studio yesterday doing Sunday Sport.
I was.
I was in my naughty enjoying the steam thrashing.
Were you?
First time down. It was brilliant.
Was it good?
It was a brilliant day, yeah. Mm. Fantastic. They got
and
great weather.
Weather is great this summer. There have been so many great things happening with the weather. But did you see all the old...
Oh yeah, I saw the horses working in the field and some old combine harvesters. It was fantastic now, really, to see all the machines working. The people do a great job, restoring them back to their...
And a huge turnout.
Great. Oh, I couldn't get over it. Yeah, huge.
And some great singing across the PA system as well.
There was a bit of singing as
we classic
were
stuff. Oh, yeah, as you do.
There
you know what I mean?
Somebody singing as we were leaving is right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some crowd at it now. Well done to all involved.
Well done.
A good
it's
day.
It's always a great day, and it happens around the same time every year. I was out across the fields with the Messi himself last night. Guess where I saw? Fox.
Oh, a fox.
A fox.
A
we were just walking
fox
along, and across he went. And should the other fella got the scent of him? Well, could I get him back?
Who'd win in a fight, though? The fox or the Messi?
Ah, well, the fox would be too clever for him, you know.
He'd be
but
gone.
I'll tell you, this fella is no slouch when it comes to standing up for himself. He's different to Jack, this messy fella. He knows how to mind his corner and that as well. You know, you wouldn't come into the back garden. You know that type of way. You just want to stay outside the walls. That's all my advice to you. Belly dancing starts tonight in the Crown Plaza at 7 o'clock. What about belly dancing?
Are you going?
Can you imagine?
I pay good money to see that.
Can you imagine me belly dancing? The Crown Plaza in Dundalk tonight, folks. 7 o'clock, belly dancing. A tenner for the hour. And Irina is the teacher, and she is some belly dancer, I'm told. And let me tell you who's going to be there. Yes. Our Miss Fiona Ferry, our psychic medium, will be at the belly dancing tonight. She told me she was going to take up something new, and this is it. I have to talk to this woman. Susan, afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm just out walking at the moment, so excuse me.
Good woman yourself. Oh. Fair juicy. Are you out on your own?
I am. I'm out with two dogs, and I'm up in the Cistercian monks, you know, in Cullen. I'd like to walk up there, and that's where I saw the albino house martin there at the weekend.
So you saw an albino house martin?
Yes, just on two occasions. It's just the same one, obviously, you know. So it was very unusual. So I had to go home and then Google it and get images just to make sure. But it's definitely a lovely snow white bird just flying around with all the other house martins.
And Susan, now this is a rare one, a rare, rare sighting to see one like this. You're 100% sure it is a house martin.
Yes, because it's with all the other houses. I'm up here. I come up here walking, firstly every day, and I always see all the house martins. You know, and they're always flying around, and this one is just flying around. Definitely one of them. You know, I googled it to get the image of it. Then when I went home and. I don't know what else it could be. Same size, same, looks exactly the same as the others, except it's snow white.
God almighty, I wonder how that came about. It's obviously a rarity that it happens in a run of them. And this is the first time you've ever seen one?
Yes, and I saw it on two occasions. So I might, just over the weekend, it was with all the other house martins. So I'd say it's probably kind of with the rest of them now. Hopefully.
I wonder what the others are all saying to it.
Well, it did say that it can become more prone to predators because it stands out from.
Yes.
When I googled this, it said that they become you know predators can go for them because they stand out from the others. You know.
Yeah. Most of the blank page, I was at the bottom of a pretty deep hole, and I didn't really see much way out, to be honest. And I went to a wedding. I couldn't get someone to go with me, and it was a huge eye opener because every girl loves a wedding. So when I couldn't get a date for a girl to put on a guna and come for a bit of a dance or a drink or whatever, I spent ages trying. So I kind of decided something has to give here. I wasn't just heading for 20 stone; I was 20 stone. I was 3 pounds off 20 stone, and I hadn't kicked a football in about 6 years. I couldn't run a mile; couldn't even walk up the stairs, one flight of stairs into work, without being out of breath, having at the table for a couple of minutes trying to get my breath back. So I just decided I needed to do something. I wrote down a list of 10 things I wanted to do. Lose a bit of weight, get active, learn to swim, learn to cook, get over a stage fright thing. I couldn't speak in public. I couldn't. I liked to sing, but didn't have the guts to get up and perform. And I'd been single for a while. So I set myself a challenge going on a blind date every week for the year. And it was the best thing I ever did. Life completely changed. And looking back now, there's no comparison between the person I was then. My personal relationships are better with my family, my friends, my colleagues than ever. I've changed jobs. I've tried my hand at a couple of different things. I've even tried radio presenting as well. So I've done a lot of different things over the last 3 years. And now I think it's time that I want to kind of show other people that they can do these things too. So over the last couple of years, I cycled around New Zealand 2 years ago, South Island in New Zealand. Anyone who's familiar with it, we went from Christchurch right over the Alps, the Southern Alps, right down the west coast into Queenstown. Had a couple of days in Queenstown recuperation, which isn't a bad place to do it, and then over to Dunedin, and it coincided with the Rugby World Cup. So we even got in one or two of the games. We got the Australia game and the Italy game, which was pretty good fun. But we did it for charity. We did it for the IRFU Charitable Trust. And then last year I did a cycle around Ireland on my own. For 15 days, 150 kilometres through all 32 counties, and it was great. Just set off with myself, and my dad was in a support car. A couple of people joined me in various stages. The last day was from RD, up this neck of the woods, down through County Meath and Kildare into Dublin. We kind of took the circuitous route, but we had to get into the various counties. And we raised a few euros for a couple of good charities in Ireland. But the one that's really stuck with me because of where I started was the suicide prevention, the depression, the mental health stuff. And earlier this year, I'm sure you're familiar with the Cycle Against Suicide campaign that happened earlier in the year. Their last day, coincidentally enough, was also from Louth, from Dundalk down to Dublin. But I did the last 3 days of that, and it struck a real chord with me. The talks that they did in the various places were fantastic. The people who spoke, and I just resonated so much with each of them. So.
I don't know what to say to you. You've signed for Man United.
I know. It's a massive shock, and I'm so happy. I'm so pleased with myself, and everybody's congratulating me. Today's been a big step up and a big shock. Everybody congratulating, so it's really exciting.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, the football, where it all began for you. Who did you play soccer with?
I played soccer with my local club, Rock Celtic. And then when I was 10 years old, I began travelling up to Belfast to play in the Man United Academy.
Did they spot you playing with Rock?
They spotted me playing with Rock, yeah.
And then they said, come up and join our academy in Belfast and see how it goes. Where do you play?
I play centre-back, yeah.
I'm not surprised. He walked in here and he's looking down at me. He has the height and the physique, certainly, for it. So you're going up to the academy in Belfast. And when you go up there, I presume there's other fellas up there who are all very talented as well.
There was a lot of players, and mainly from Northern Ireland. But there was boys coming up as well from similar places like me. And I did that for 2 years then, until we decided to travel the other direction up to Dublin and play with St. Kevin's boys, and that was a completely new experience altogether.
And Kevin's, of course, are a club that's known as a nurturing club and as an academy. Loads of players have come through there.
Absolutely.
And gone on to play top-class football in England as well. Yeah. So United were they keeping tabs on you all this time, even when you went to St. Kevin's?
Yeah, they were. They were very supportive of me going playing in Dublin, because they knew it improved my football. And during my time in Dublin, I was coming over and back to Man United in England, like school breaks and summer holidays and things like that.
So they were making sure they were keeping in touch with you and keeping it going along, as they say. So that's going on. You're with Kevin's in Dublin. You're over and back to Manchester. So then what happens that it comes to today when you're actually signing for them?
Well, I'm approaching the age of 16, and that's kind of when everything is decided now. So I suppose it's just because I'm old enough now, and I'm at the stage now where I'm well prepared to take the next step.
So you are now going to sign. Have you signed already? Is it signed, the contract?
I'm not 16 years old yet. So
when are you 16?
I'm 16 in October.
Oh, cool. So it's all going to happen then at that stage.
Yeah.
And when you sign for them, are you going to go over to Manchester then full time?
That's it, yeah.
That's it? You're moving? Locked.
Well, it's the end of this month I'm going over, because the 2nd of September is when I start the school year over there.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the head start in school and stuff like that. And then in October, then I'm just an official.
So you're moving to Manchester?
Yeah.
Better bring dad in here, because, as I said, Eamon is a well-known man in sporting circles in the northeast. Eamon, from your own perspective, and Sharon, the mum, and his brother here, Richie, what does this mean?
It means we'll miss him terribly. But,
good man yourself.
I know it's a short hop over, but it'll be a big change for the whole family. You know, our older daughter Aisling is just done the Leaving Cert, so she'll be heading to college, and Jimmy's heading to Manchester, so it'll just be ourselves and Richie in the house.
Hey,
it'll
Richie,
be a new house.
You're going to be a spoiled boy from now on. You have the place to yourself, mum and dad as well. But look, you must be thrilled, yourself and Sharon and everybody in the family, and the sister and everybody.
Yeah, we're all delighted for him, and you know, Jimmy's a middle child, like, he's an older sister and a younger brother, and they're all very close, and then miss him. But we're happy, you know, with the arrangements. You know, if we weren't happy with the arrangements, we wouldn't be letting him go. But the arrangements are good, and I think he's looking forward to it. So let him get on with it now at this stage, I think.
What kind of a contract? Is it a pro contract he's signing at 16, or can he do that? No.
Oh, he can, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it is a pro contract.
From the age of 16.
Yeah.
God, when you think about that, isn't that just unbelievable? So it is a professional contract for 3 years.
Four years. Well, the first year won't be pro, because he'll be in school and settling in and doing, I think, what do you call it, the GCSEs over there.
Yes.
So, but after that, then he'll be, you know, full-time.
Full-time as well. Yeah. And you've obviously been talking to the Manchester United people along with himself, so you're all very happy.
Really, yeah, they've been fantastic, like, because they've gone to his school in the De La Salle in Dundalk and spoken to his principal and about his education and his welfare, and they've come to the house to us to speak to us about the same. So they showed a lot of care, you know, and all the questions. Then they brought us over a couple of weeks ago, myself and Sharon went over and met the principal of the school over.